While everyone's talking about AI replacing people, smart companies know the real opportunity is using AI to make their people better. Lattice is the HR platform where people and AI succeed together, helping every employee grow, every manager lead, and every company achieve greater success. Let's build a people-powered future. No regrets. Visit lattice.com/no regrets. That's LATTICE.com/no regrets.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Do We Know Them, episode 65, and a very special episode indeed. We're growing. We're making moves on this podcast. We have yet another correspondent.
And probably not who you would expect, but I think a lot of you are going to be excited because I saw in comments of a previous video that you guys know who this person is.
We recently talked about Zav Girl, who is a true crime YouTuber who is pretty much the epitome of what not to do in true crime. And we talked about that in another episode. You could check that out. In the comments, a lot of you guys were saying, well, this is someone who does true crime right and who has been doing it for a long time. And that is Bose.
And coincidentally, I was like, oh my God, I know Bose. That bitch has been texting me nonstop about this fucking Ariana Grande thing, weirdly enough. So today's topic, I know I did just mention literally last episode that I was not interested and I didn't really want to talk about it.
But we're wrong often on this show. I'm just kidding. We're not wrong often, we change our mind often. That's what it is.
You know, normalize changing your mind when presented with new information.
I'm saying.
But yeah, so Bose is coming on to talk about Ariana Grande's divorce, but not specifically the divorce aspect of it. We're talking about how she has basically broken up. I was going to call him SpongeBob, but his name is Ethan Slater. And I don't want to give anything else away, but basically Jesse and Bose have both been in my ear all week about how they are so passionate about this topic. And I didn't know that much about it. And I'm going to learn more.
We're basically having a girl's FaceTime talking about what the fuck is going on with Ariana Grande and Ethan Slater. That's basically what you're about to see. It's not formal. We're not like laying out the bullet points. We're just being like, yo, what the hell? And then like talking through it, which I think was very healing for me, even though I'm not involved in this at all. But I feel better.
I feel like you and Bose both needed it to happen. And honestly, I do understand why people are so heated about it. So I think we all learned something. Cut to the special correspondent.
We'll just let our conversation do the talking.
Without further ado, here's our special, this is our second special correspondent ever. It's not an interview, otherwise I would say it's like our—
Oh, I was about to say who, but yeah, but Nick. Nick was our Deaf Noodles correspondent.
Now we have our Ariana Grande correspondent. Everyone, here's Bose.
There's imagine applause. Like imagine applause is playing.
I never thought that I'd be considered an Ariana Grande correspondent, but I'm here and I'm very passionate. I was screaming crazy shit in the closet beforehand just to like get it off my chest so that I didn't say anything too wild on here. You know what I mean?
It's funny because honestly, of all of the things that we discuss, I feel like celebrity pop culture isn't usually very high up on the list. And you guys, Bose has not stopped texting me about this whole divorce thing in like over a week. It's been nonstop.
I've been so confused. How are you not up to date on this?
Literally.
It's pretty rare that you're completely clueless on something. And for some reason, you are kind of clueless on this situation a little bit.
It's not that I'm clueless. I think I just like don't
care.
Yeah. Yes, that is it pretty much. But I also feel like the two of you aren't usually super invested in the celebrity stuff, but you're both so passionate about it.
Dude, the way that this has turned out into like the vastness of it and the pattern of behavior is so much that it's so astounding. Like you look at it, you're like, oh, she did this, that's bad. Oh, she did it with him too. Oh, with him too. Oh my God, him. Like that's been my brain for the past like 3 days.
Like this isn't just a celebrity divorce, breakup, drama. This is a psychological pattern of an A-list celebrity that literally had it all. I mean, when you say A-list, I'm talking triple A over here, baby. If I had Ariana Grande status and money, I would just be walking around. Doo, 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 doo. Like I would be like the most like perfect little being, but like How could she do this?
It does give me a little bit of like Try Guy vibes where I'm like, why would you like self-sabotage? Like you had everything. Why would you do this?
Yeah.
Well, where do we even, I don't know where to start with it. For people that know, like assume our viewers know nothing. Where would you start to explain how we got here today at this SpongeBob musical Ethan Slater character who is just taking over my For You page and driving me insane.
Where would you start and then you throw in SpongeBob musical?
Okay, well. Dude, I can give you guys the rundown on it, but it's kind of.
Do it.
I don't know.
Let's hear it, special correspondent.
Okay. All right. So, you know, a lot of us were up to date when Ariana Grande was dating Pete Davidson, right? Like, I mean, we were all like, whoa, do we love this? Do we hate it? Well, we'll take it, right?
I kind of loved it.
Yeah, especially after like the whole Mac Miller like situation, we were like, okay. And she had like a huge fan base, like everything's kind of all right, right? Well, she goes through, you know, Pete Davidson. I think she might have had another relationship in between, Jesse, do you know, before Dalton?
I don't know on a severity level, like about to get married and then obviously she married Dalton. I think that was it. She might have like on the low been spotted making out with someone or something, but I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think publicly that's the timeline.
Yeah, I think like her serious relationship, that was it.
Yeah, well, we know the commenters are gonna know. Bro, when Pete was going on, it was crazy. They had moved in together. They had matching tattoos together.
Okay, but he does that with low-key everybody.
The I was Kim just going to say, yeah. Didn't she do that name? With the most recent guy?
Yeah,
too?
He's just a little unhinged. I don't know.
Okay, so we go through that whole relationship, and then suddenly, boom, out of nowhere, she marries Dalton Gomez, which, for lack of a better term, some people say he's like a normie, right? He's like a real estate agent. Honestly, I think he's kind of hot. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
He looks super familiar. Like, I feel like I know someone like a child that, like, went to high school with me or something.
I remember seeing her getting married to Dalton, and when I saw she got married, I was like, oh shit, who is it? And then I saw him and I was just like, oh, interesting. Like, he just looks like every other kid in Florida that I knew. Well, like, I don't know.
Okay, but true, she's from Florida. So this is like such an Ariana
she
guy.
Is?
Yeah, she's from, I think, Boca Raton in Florida.
Yeah, she
oh,
is.
Oh, yes. I didn't know that. That's, yeah. I mean, not really a game changer, but it does add some context.
Why? Just because she's from Florida? We change, Lily. We grew up to be better people.
Yeah, the title of this video is now Florida Woman Divorces Husband and Ruin. So she marries Dalton, and we're all like, okay, so I guess she's like a stable girly. Like, you know, she's done with the whirlwind romance. And like, that's the perception I feel like it gave a lot of people. And then she's just off in her quiet relationship. Like, there's Ariana fan accounts that were watching it pretty closely. But for the most part, to the public, we're like, okay, she settled down. He's a good boy. And then suddenly, there's murmurs.
Whoa. But wait, important context that all happened during quarantine.
Oh, yeah.
Not them staying together because they had to.
No, not like that. But it kind of feels like maybe they had this like they weren't in the public eye as much as she has been with everyone else. She didn't have a bunch of events.
Because nobody
to go
was.
To.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were kind of off by themselves. Because even before that, like what she was going to marry Pete, like it seemed like she was ready to settle down. And then
that was my thing. It seemed like she really wanted to be married and have that kind of life. And it just didn't work out with Pete. Which she wrote like so many like really intense songs about like still kind of being wrapped up in Mac and stuff, or just like having the thought of all of that, whatever, that I was like, damn, I totally get why she didn't marry Pete. I get it. And then she married Dalton. I was like, oh, good for her. She got like what she wanted. But I'm not a super Ariana stan, so I didn't like watch it very closely. And again, I don't think anybody was doing anything.
Well, and I think they were pretty private about it for the most part. Yeah. But that's also because they didn't, like, they would have had to be posting stuff themselves. It wasn't like, no one was a fly on the wall in that relationship. And even I feel like the marriage like really caught everyone off guard. It was like, wait, she's even dating someone? I mean, honestly, I said that when she got divorced, but continue. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, and also, wait, I want to lend a little bit of context or understanding to part of Ariana's situation, because let's not forget the really crazy stuff. One, she dates Mac Miller, who I believe she was genuinely wildly, wildly in love with, you know? And then when he passed, I mean, people were blaming her. She lost somebody that she was, you know, close to at one point. Like,
they broke up before he passed, didn't
they? Yes.
They did.
And so that's why they blamed her.
But even though they broke up, there was still like when the whole like terrorist attack or whatever
Manchester,
happened,
yeah.
Like I don't even think they were necessarily even together. I'm not sure about that time. Like, he would always be there for her, and they were very close regardless, even though they would date other people. So they always had that bond.
And, you know, lending back to what Jesse said, the other thing too, the Manchester bombing. Oh my God. Like, let us not forget that music and touring, that excitement, that rush, that giving back to her fans, it's ruined for her now. The level of PTSD that she had after that situation is unreal. Like, I mean, children passed away in that. Like, it's really insane. And so, in my opinion, like, even though, don't get me wrong, I'm not happy with Ariana right now, I do want to say that I believe she lost that excitement and that passion for music and her fans, which, imagine the heights of that excitement back in the day when she was doing those shows. It's gone now. She can never, like, do that again. And so now her new form of excitement is love. Like, having this addiction to love and these intense, fast relationships. She doesn't really know what else to do.
Because even before, I feel like she was diving into all the relationships, after Manchester, didn't she put out, like, 3 albums in, like, a year?
Yeah.
Like, and they were all hits. Like, everything was amazing.
Yeah.
So I think the touring part was, like, totally ruined for her and, like, performing. But she then tried to, like, focus all of her energy into just music and work. And then it seemed like she did that. And then it was like, okay, now what? And then it seemed like the next step on her list was like, okay, get married.
Yeah.
And then she just needed to find the right guy. And apparently that seemed to be Dalton. But apparently not anymore.
Oh, yeah. He seemed like the good guy. So, you know, we start hearing these murmurs that they're possibly going through a divorce. I feel like supposedly it happened around January, but we really started hearing it heavy around like May to June, because that's when I started digging around, because I was like, huh, a year or a year and a half for a relationship? That's pretty short, girl. And then boom, out of nowhere is when we start hearing about Ethan Slater. Ethan Slater's I'm ready looking ass, who somebody left a comment the other day that literally said, why does Ethan Slater always look like somebody's about to hand him a really big lollipop? And I cannot unsee it.
Oh, the way that I would never, if, like, how is Ariana continuing to have intercourse, allegedly, with this man after the memes that have come out?
But also, back up for a sec. So, TMZ came out with that article. I don't think it's not true, because I feel like she would have said something by now. And also, I don't think the wife of this other guy would have been making a bunch of public statements about it. But it's not like there's been, like, pictures of them, like, canoodling or, like, I feel like, what? There's no proof.
Well, the way they met, we should get into how they even, like, cross paths in life.
Oh, right? Should we introduce who he is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whoops. So Ethan Slater, he is a musical theater guy.
He's a Broadway actor.
He's SpongeBob. We have to just lead with that. He was SpongeBob, or is SpongeBob. And the clips that have been circulating TikTok haunt me in my dreams. I don't know how Ariana, like, literally was able to see that and not get so much ick that, like, she could never approach him.
Honestly, my biggest question regarding the SpongeBob aspect of it is, why isn't he a sponge?
Okay. I was like, not even the outfit. Like, I know that SpongeBob has, like, a tie. We could barely see it because it's just at the bottom of his square. So, like, what the fuck are we doing here right now? Like, it literally was so disturbing. I thought the same thing. Put him in a box like that Finding Nemo, or make him get a puppet or some shit.
It seemed like something was like, the interpretation seemed off.
Oh my God. My favorite, I have to find it. It's a clip of him brushing Gary's teeth, but it's like he brushes his eyeball by mistake and people were just like, people have literally been nitpicking every performance. But he's talking about like, I wake up and brush my teeth, and then he goes and brushes Gary's eyeballs.
Who's always extra careful with his dental hygiene? Gary, it's me. Happy just to be here in the world renowned. Bikini Bottom, how I love this town.
And they're like, what the fuck? What are you doing?
Are all the other characters not what they are in the...
No, Gary's actually Gary. Gary's a snail.
Mr. Crab's Eye Claw.
What about, like, Patrick? Is that just a person?
I don't know, but it's bad. It's the whole thing is that it's so comically bad that people are clowning him for it. But that's not how she met him, I don't think.
No.
They actually met on the set of Wicked, mm-hmm. which is a very, very popular musical. I have seen it at least 3 times on Broadway, I think. And she is playing the part of Glinda. He is playing who? That I'm unclear on.
He was playing the guy that is, like, in love with Ariana's character and then eventually turns into the Tin Man. But, like, Ariana's character, like, constantly, like, pushes him away or something. I'm not familiar with the play. I just know
but
that
so
one.
They do have a lot of scenes gotcha. Together.
Yeah, yeah. And it got a little too real when Ariana and Ethan were supposed to be working. I would never hire them again.
So I know that there's one thing that Jesse was leery to even mention, but I feel like it's an important aspect that we need to discuss here.
What is it, Lily? It's your opinion, not mine. All opinions are Lily's and Lily's own. And Bo's opinion. Not mine. I don't stand for any of this.
It seems, I mean, I'm not going to go through Ariana's relationship history and say that she has only been attracted to, like, gorgeous men. But a lot of, she has had an interesting track record. But to each their own, whatever you're into. This one, I think, caught a lot of people by surprise, though, because not only is she just dating this guy, one, he was SpongeBob, which that kind of does add some weird aspect.
Knocks him
to
down
it.
Like yeah, several yeah. notches.
But more so because he's married with a child. Oh, so, like, yeah. the fact that it was worth it to, like, be that much of a home wrecker. I don't really even like that term because it's like he wrecked the home. She did not wreck the home. In this case, I don't know.
Well, she handed him the hammer.
Jesse, I don't know if you feel this way. Like, this is such a broad statement, but I think for a lot of... Okay, I don't know how else to say this. I think it's so shocking to us because we're like, oh my God, like, Ariana, where is the self-worth meter here? Like, you want, like, a married man that's willing to cheat after 10 years?
Right.
It's crazy.
That aspect of it.
Oh, you...
That is literally the insanity of this all. That is the fucking craziness. So he had been married. He is now separated from his wife. But they had been married, high school sweethearts. This literally makes me want to stab my eyes out with pencils. High school sweethearts for 10 years. They just had a child a year ago. He just posted an Instagram post in May talking about what a beautiful and wonderful mother she is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Ariana Grande liked it. Yeah, and several other posts that he had about his wife. And the fact that she found out, she says literally, I think she found out like a day before it hit like tabloids. Like that's how mm-hmm. soon it was for her, or something along those lines. Like, I don't think she knew.
I saw a headline that she was blindsided.
She was blindsided yeah. of the separation. But from what I did read and what recently came out, they apparently had been canoodling and seen having this affair because a lot of like the theater people noticed that they were like literally holding hands on set, allegedly. And like, it was all this crazy shit that was super out in the open. They were not shy about it. And the wife ended up finding out about that. He had like promised her, this is all what's coming out now, we don't know for sure, but this is what she's alleging, that they had basically like stopped that. Like, she was like, stop this bullshit, like, we're not doing yeah. this. And then he continued on with the affair with Ariana and then officially left his wife.
Just like piggybacking off of what Jesse said. Oh my God, I can't believe I just said that like I'm in a corporate meeting.
literally.
I love it.
Yeah, when I was reading about that, it seems like Lily and Ariana were friends. Like, Ariana was coming over and holding their baby, their newborn, and saying like,
Ariana, meet me in the fucking public parking lot right now behind my fucking house. I swear I would have to fight. There's no going out of that without fighting. You would just have to.
Yes. And you know what, Jesse? I think this is why some women are so passionate about this, because we've either dealt with a homewrecker, we've almost dealt with a homewrecker, or we've dated a guy that we know would let it home. You know, like, so many of us have been so close to the situation, and like, we would lose our mind if an Ariana came in and took our man, period. And like, it is what it is.
Well, and I think that's the thing. It's like, it's normally I would be like, well, I mean, homewrecker, or is it like the guy's fucking up their relationship? Don't blame it all. I mean, yes,
true,
she
true.
Knew about it. But when it's Ariana Grande and Ethan Slater, you're like, he wasn't leaving her for this random person on the street. Like, he left her for Ariana Grande. That
and
is why.
And there's always
left.
Like this like theory of hall passes, and you always have those like conversations with your spouse or whatever. Like, oh, who's your hall pass or whatever. You don't actually expect them to fucking come up and scoop up your man. You're like, what the hell?
Also, dude, can you imagine Lily J finally has her baby, you know, probably gets through like, you know, the postpartum if she had it or something. Her husband's about to go embark on this major role. Like, he's going to provide for the family. He's doing a big move. Like, this is so exciting, right? And then this, like, she, yes, she was blindsided. But yeah, bro, Ariana's over at their house holding the baby, looking at Lily and Ethan saying, wow, your baby's so precious. I want to have a family myself one day. I think I'll just take yours. Like, that's literally what was happening behind the scenes.
Allegedly.
That was, you know, quoted in some article, but yes.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
You could actually see, like, Ariana liking Ethan's pose. She was hanging out with them, allegedly. And that's just crazy to me. So one thing that internet sleuths kind of figured out was around the time of April or May, Ariana randomly unliked all of Ethan's photos and unfollowed him. So to us social media people, this signifies that somebody got blocked. And it looked like Ariana had blocked him at one point. And it actually lined up with the time that Lily came to the UK and found out about the affair. And then suddenly, you know, Ethan's quote blocked. That's just what it looked like. All the photos are unliked. And she thinks the affair is over. And then somehow it starts up again. I think that Ariana is a woman that validates herself by just taking other people's men. Like, she feels like she's worth it if he's willing to publicly hold hands with her, laugh with her on set. In my opinion, I know this is gonna sound crazy, like conspiracy bills coming in hot, but it was so shocking to me when he pushed for the divorce. Like, give it a couple weeks, give it a few months to breathe or something. And I'm like, well, what if that's part of Ariana needing validation that she's like, you have to leave your wife for me. You have to show me how much you love me. Show me how much you care. Because this is how people like that operate sometimes.
Is he pushing for the divorce?
Oh, he just did. It just filed like 2 days ago or something.
Does he think that this is a long-term thing?
That is the thing that I'm like, this is so embarrassing for him because I know the type of like woman that Ariana is and I've seen many Arianas in my day. She got you. Your wife is gone. She's probably going to go turn into a bad bitch in a corner. Not that she isn't already, but she's going to go live her life and do great. And you're going to be stuck with Ethan Slater and he's still going to be SpongeBob. And then you're going to be like, you know what? Actually, ew, never mind. Like, I'm not going to do this and I'm over you and I'm bored because Ariana does get bored a lot, it seems. Like, she's just like over it once she gets the person. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to be left with his life in fucking shambles. And it's all fun and games until you really realize this is... He has a child with this person. This is so fucking sad.
Well, that's what's so crazy. It's like, it already would be bad if he was cheating on her and their relationship is getting blown up anyway. But then the fact that she, like, literally was liking, like, Mother's Day posts and shit like that, that brings it to a whole nother level of, like...
It does. It does. And it's probably such an insane feeling of betrayal. And also, just to know, like, for people who want to judge, you know, her for forgiving him after the initial affair, allegedly, she was... according to this timeline, like, still postpartum and, like, even fresher when she would have found out about the first affair. That feeling of, like, wanting to hang on for your child and this person you've known for so long, like, I can't imagine her, like, hurt in wanting to fight for her family.
Putting her feelings aside for her baby.
Yeah, for sure. And then you would think that this is an isolated incident, but it's absolutely not, because it's since come out that literally every other relationship she has been in, Pete Davidson, Mac Miller, Dalton Gomez. This has been the same thing. There has been women who have been dumped and then next day have seen in the news that that person, Pete Davidson, Mac Miller, whoever, is now dating Ariana Grande. Dalton Gomez's ex had posted like a TikTok or something being like, when your ex dumps you and now he's dating Ariana Grande. Like, literally, it's just like immediate asking or, and then she has the song, Break Up With Your Girlfriend Because I'm Bored. It's just also
oh,
bad.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, when that song came out, honestly, Jesse, I don't know about you, but I was like, oh, okay, this is a bop. I'm like, these lyrics are a little weird, but like.
Yeah, it did seem like a little toxic, but it was so like catchy that I was like, okay, I like it.
That aspect of it, I knew that there was like her relationships did seem to kind of overlap, but I didn't know the aspect of it where it was like the relationships overlap, but then they had relationships already.
The way that Pete Davidson dropped Cassie David for Ariana was heartbreaking. They had done interviews like in the years prior about how in love they were, like talking about, like, you know, getting married, stuff like that. That was almost the most stable I've ever seen Pete Davidson, you know? And then it just out of nowhere, there is not only a pattern of her taking somebody that's already in a relationship, but there's always a pattern of the woman being devastated. And there's always a pattern of Ariana acting like she hasn't done anything wrong, but then the woman is blindsided and devastated. It's over and over. And it almost makes me wonder, it's like, girl, did something happen when you were younger? Are you like repeating this trauma like on other people? Did something happen with your family? Because like, this is such an odd pattern to repeat. I'm talking, what, 5 times at this point?
Yeah, literally. No, yeah. And I'm thinking of another one. Big Sean, Naya Rivera, was engaged to him. Yeah, and she said that she alleged actual cheating. Like, she was like that Ariana was like going over the house when they were still engaged or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because the other ones aren't public figures, are they?
I mean, they were very publicly dating, I think. But like with a
no one is listening to them as much as they did Naya Rivera, per se.
I don't think so, no. But like, it's this weird ass thing where I cannot find a man she's got kosherly. Like, it's just every man that she's gotten. I'm like, those are really bad circumstances to find a man. What is going on here? Like, why is this happening? I didn't think, like, I did see that he had been married and all that stuff, and I didn't really know what this all was about. But the more and more that came out, it didn't feel like picking on Ariana Grande or just being like, oh, like, what the hell is Ariana? Like, literally, it's like, girl, what are you doing? And you need to be, like, humbled for this. Like, you need to stop. Like, please stop taking people's man. We beg. Please don't come to my house.
Yeah, truly. You got a man, watch out. Oh, also, I hate to get like all like spiritual on y'all for a second, but I'm a firm believer that if you have bad habits, like let's say you're like a raging alcoholic, or maybe you're like an abusive partner or whatever, I feel like you constantly have these situations in life where life will whisper at you, hey, you're screwing up. It'll give you these little moments, you know, where maybe you embarrass yourself or something bad happens. But a lot of times people don't listen. And when you don't listen to all the little whispers that are coming up, it will start screaming at you. And that's exactly what I think is happening to Ariana now. She needs psychological help. And she knew this. She wrote a song about it. She knew exactly what she was doing, but there were no repercussions. There was none, not a single one. And now the big repercussion is coming because it's just like the veil has been lifted off of her. Like, I'm curious if Ariana fans can ever look at her the same way again.
Well, because rest assured, she can and will come for yours too. Like, whoever's defending her, it's just like, it's become increasingly more popular and acceptable to be a girl's girl, whereas before it used to be like, oh, you're just like trying hard, whatever. She's whatever the fucking opposite of that is. Like,
are you coincidentally using that term, or did you see the headline that that is what Lily J referred to her as? Or didn't refer to her. It's in quotes, I believe, that says that she's not a girl's girl.
She's not. Mm-hmm. Dude, she's really fucking not. Like, she's not someone. And here's the thing, Jeanette McCurdy tried to tell us and nobody was listening. Do you guys not remember when Jeanette McCurdy tried to talk about how Ariana really was? Jeanette had a skit, and I don't remember what the context of her releasing this skit. I have to find it. It was someone who was Ariana. It was playing Ariana. And she was basically playing the most obnoxious, inconsiderate girl you can imagine that was just like, oh, it's me. I'm everything and everybody has to listen to me. And like very like obnoxiously like full of
herself. And was this before the book came out?
It was way before the book. Years before the book. Yeah. So Jeanette McCurdy had, and they had a show together, if you guys don't know, but it's just interesting how little tidbits have been available to like for everyone to see, but I guess nobody really cared.
I feel like for the most part, at least in recent years, Ariana has had a relatively good, like, she's been pretty fine in public standing with everyone, but that was only after she recovered from the what did you say? Like, I hate America when she licked the donut.
I heard about that, but I never saw it. She licked a donut and said, I hate America.
You don't remember that?
It's security footage. It was when she was dating one of her dancers, who I would love to look up that one and see if she stole him from a relationship too. It's like her, a dancer, and probably two other dancers. I think they're probably on tour, and they go into a donut shop, and they had like a tray of them on the counter, and there's no workers out there, and the security camera catches her like going up and licking one of them. She like puts her tongue on one. I think she's just like looking at the menu or something and says like, oh, I hate America. Something insinuating that it's like gross in America because everything's so like fattening and I don't know.
Yeah, but you're gonna lick a donut and put it back? You nasty.
But that didn't even get people as much as the America thing did. That was like, she might as well have burned the flag.
You can lick the donut, but I draw the line on America.
Yeah, dude, Kid Rock is like shooting a cardboard cutout.
It's I would pull it up, but it's really not that damning of a video. It's like, she literally goes up and moves in.
You know, I think it's become blatantly obvious now that Ariana's a pick me girl.
I was gonna say that it's interesting because that she had to do such like a 180 with her whole image, because that like everyone was like, oh, she's a little bitch, we don't like her anymore. And I can vividly remember when she did start to make that 180. It was when she went on James Corden. I think the rumor was that she used to like order people to carry her everywhere, and she does that whole little sketch where she's like, I'm Ariana Grande coming through. And she's like on his back and like literally getting carried everywhere. And I remember seeing him be like, oh, that's really funny. I appreciate that a lot.
I could almost like actually see her. Like, I know it's a joke that she asks people to carry her. Probably not like, oh, I'm the princess. But have you guys ever seen that girl on TikTok that does the pick me sketches?
Oh, wait, maybe.
Half of them are about her being like, I'm so tiny. I bet you couldn't pick me up. Can you pick me up? Oh, my God. Like, that is like some pick me girl shit. Like, okay. Also, I am an expert on this because I'm a retired pick me girl. Okay. I've talked about this before. I'm a retired pick me girl. Because you know what? I hung up my coat about 5 or 6 years ago. Guess what? I got picked and I found out that men are fucking dumb. Okay. Like it just is what it is, bro. So I can smell a pick me from a mile away. And you know what's so interesting? I really think that the woman on the other end is a massive part of the dynamic. And I just don't understand it. Like, it's so fascinating because this is a combination of it, like, love addiction, which is absolutely what she is. People that are love addicts, they jump from relationship to relationship. They say anything and everything to make it the most exciting, like full technicolor, like it's like your heart's racing, everything's exciting. And then they get bored and they kind of like move on, which is also why I believe personally that Ariana's probably saying a lot of stuff to Ethan Slater that he's never heard before from like a super pretty girl. Like, she's pulling out all the stops. Not saying Lily J like isn't a beautiful woman that's been like a wonderful wife. But when Ariana's just pulling stuff out of her ass to seem like romantic and like this is real, this is like a passionate, fiery, burning thing, he's eating it up.
As much as I hate to interrupt our conversation with Bose because we're vibing, we're spilling the tea, we're getting into it, we do have to take a quick break to thank our sponsor of this episode. But before we do, Lily has something she'd like to tell you.
Yes. Ask, actually. ¿Le está gustando mi podcast?
Wow, amazing.
If you couldn't tell, today's episode is sponsored by Babbel. I have only just started, don't worry.
As the wife of a foreign person, I know that the first best way to learn a new language is through immersion, right? So if you live somewhere and everyone else is speaking that language, it makes it a lot easier to learn. But that's not possible for everyone, which is why I have not learned French in the first 6 years of marriage to my wonderful husband. And that is on me. And I am going to, though, now with Babbel.
And also probably the reason I didn't retain any of the Spanish that I learned in my 3 years I took of it in high school.
So that's what makes Babbel the second best way to learn a language. And it helps you learn so quickly that even if you have travel plans this summer and you want to learn the basics of a language and you want to be able to like hold your own while you're there, Babbel is the way to go.
And again, it's the important things like ordering food, getting directions, speaking to the different merchants. It's great if you're traveling, especially.
For sure. I'm definitely going to get on that and learn French. And if I don't, next time we come here and talk about Babbel, and if I don't know more French than I know right now, you guys can throw tomatoes at me. I allow it. And if you guys want to try out Babbel for yourself, we have a special limited time offer.
We have a deal for our listeners that if you want to get started right now, you can get 55% off your Babbel subscription. But again, it's only for our listeners. And you have to go to babbel.com/DWKT.
Again, you could get 55% off at babbel.com/DWKT. That is spelled BABBEL.com/DWKT.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thank you once again to Babbel for being a wonderful sponsor of this podcast.
Gracias.
Yeah. I was about to say, salut.
And then when you think about, like, listen to Ariana Grande's songs. Like, they're not about, like, love and, like, sweet things. It's, like, literally dick bicycle. All of her lyrics are about sex. So could you imagine your husband going to work as SpongeBob one day, coming home and being like, babe, I booked Wicked, and then starts filming it, and then starts fucking Ariana Grande. Like, at first you're like, oh my god, you're in a musical with Ariana Grande. That's awesome. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, no, what? You're in a musical with Ariana Grande?
And honestly, like, his wife is a beautiful woman. They have a child together. But more than that, like, they have that foundation of so many years together.
High school sweethearts, you said?
Yeah, like 10 years. It's a decade of your life. You let your guard down, bitch. Like, you really do. You're just like, okay, like, first of all, he's not a supermodel standard. Like, he's not conventionally attractive.
Say, like, fuck you.
He's not conventionally attractive. You have to say that.
Even in a different way of phrasing it, you could say that usually if your husband is going to play SpongeBob and doesn't even have to be dressed as a sponge, you usually probably aren't going to be that concerned.
But even all that stuff aside, because I know people got pissed at us during the Adam Levine thing because he cheated on his gorgeous model wife. And we were just like, what the fuck? Like, but we weren't saying it as like ugly people deserve to get cheated on. Like, the people took it as that. They were like, nobody deserves to get cheated on. Yes, I know. But I feel like in this situation, like, certain things are relevant. If your husband is not conventionally attractive, he starts working with Ariana Grande, you think he's safe? You think he is?
Dude, okay, I don't, bro, listen, I'm telling you right now, this might get cut from the fucking episode, but I'm just gonna say it. I used to do this thing, especially when I was younger, where, like, I know somebody's gonna relate to this, cut this if you need to, but if, like, the guy wasn't, like, if the guy was supermodel hot, it made me really, really insecure. And so if he, like, wasn't as hot, I felt, like, a little bit safer. I just did. And so, like, Lily is probably looking at this man like, wow, he's sweet. He's loving. I find him attractive. Like, I don't feel threatened all the time when he goes out. Like, you know, there's a sense of safety sometimes in guys.
That's where I think it comes into play, though, when you're like, okay, personality could add a whole lot. Like, there could be someone that's like, I normally wouldn't think that is that cute, but if they have an amazing personality, I kind of forget that.
That's happened to me like, a million times.
No, I'm attracted to them for other reasons. But a lot of people would be like, but I don't get it. What, like, Ariana Grande could have anyone? Like, well, I think this is where we bring in, though, that Ariana Grande was not born a pop star. She was born a theater nerd.
And I can relate.
And Jesse is going to speak to that because she also was a theater nerd.
It's a thing, guys. It really is. It's this weird, if you're not a theater kid, you wouldn't fucking
understand
it.
It's a breed of human.
Well, yes, that, but the ambiance. There's no explaining the ambiance of a theater romance. I shit you not. First of all, I'm not even joking. The horniest fuckers you have ever met in your life are the theater kids. I'm not joking.
Makes me think of Mean Girls, the sexually active band nerds.
Dude, okay, literally. It was like, what is wrong with everybody? Like, we all were rabid, but that was besides the point. Then you would be in a spot where you see someone consistently. Then you have even more of an option that it's like, okay, I see them consistently and oh my God, they're my love interest. Or oh my God, I have so many scenes with them and I have to interact with them on the daily. I remember, oh my God, Garrett, shout out. I literally was so enwrapped in this whirlwind romance with this kid named Garrett. And the only like connection we had on stage was like, we danced like ballroom to like one thing. Oh my, you would think that we were like soulmates made to love each other. Like just anytime we got like, we would be, I'm not joking, Lily, making out right up till we got to like leaving the curtain and then we would start doing our little thing. I'm like, what is wrong with us? Like, it's a disease, okay? Theater romance is a disease.
And actually, we talked about this once before during the Sydney Sweeney, what's his name? Glenn Powell, where we were talking about how, like I had said, that I understand when like celebrities, I mean, I don't understand when they're having affairs, but I understand how being on set away from everyone in your life, like on location somewhere for months at a time and you're in this bubble, I get how that would cultivate a relationship. That makes sense. And you mm-hmm. brought up, you're like, yeah, it's exactly like theater, blah, blah. Because you said that even the people that you didn't have love interest with, you were still seeing every day and you would even still have like some kind of weird sexual tension even if you didn't have parts that were doing it. So
I don't know. To me, it sounds like restaurant romance is just minus the alcohol when you get off shift and cigarettes.
Oh my and God. I've never worked in a restaurant
yeah,
either. I've heard that as well. And I think it's the same kind of thing where it's like you exist in this bubble that feels like kind of like it's your thing and no one else really gets it. It's like inside jokes. It's just part of your daily routine. And I understand how that would get, like you would get caught up in that, but maybe not when you're married and have a newborn child.
You know, does it perplex either of you that she would come on to set in a major role and we would expect her to be a professional after what, 15 years in the game? And she would start dating a coworker, like on set having PDA, also they're married, and cause a PR storm for herself, her team, and the production itself. Like, to me, I'm like, I'm sorry, are you dumb? Because I would never. Like, there's no sponge bright enough that I would sacrifice at all, you know? How do you guys feel about that? Like, would you come on set with your dream role and just say, I'm gonna blow this
and
shit
no,
up
and that's
today?
The thing is, I don't know if this was on camera or not, when Jesse, maybe you and I were talking about it before, that Ariana Grande has been like, her dream to be in Wicked is longstanding. Like, this is not just like she didn't just happen to get cast in this. Like, she literally has said that she would have done anything. She's like, I would have waited outside the door just to get them to like look at me.
Wicked, is that different though?
That's very different. Oh, that's very different. Yeah, that's very different. I'd do anything.
Elphaba.
I don't want to talk about it because I'm going to cry. And like, I would do anything. I would do anything. I would stand outside the producer's studio with coffees every morning like this, waiting for them to acknowledge me.
No, but for real, you
and
would.
Begging them to sing Defying Gravity for them.
Where do you want to play it? Where would you want to be here? On stage
any,
or in a movie?
Any.
Like, she was obsessed with one musical
theater.
Didn't
she used to sing a lot of the songs from Wicked with good old Colleen Ballinger, who she used to be very good friends with?
Honestly, we're not even going to dive into that, but they were like close growing up because they did a musical together at some point. They haven't been publicly associated in a long time.
I know what you mean by like, of course I wouldn't, like if I could choose, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go onto set and like blow up my life. But it's more than that, like where it's just like on a fuck the like musical level, fuck everything. Like, how can you know this person and like hold their child yeah. and be like a literal life ruiner? Like, how can you? Because yes, he is hugely at fault. He spent those 10 years with that woman and he betrayed her, of course. But like, you also did as well. And you played a major part because let's be fucking honest. Like, if you had not approached him, he would not have had an affair more than likely. He had an affair because you're fucking Ariana Grande.
That's the crazy part is that like Ariana Grande could literally go up to like 99% of men and be like, hey.
Oh, and she has. Well, that, and also I can't imagine what his wife's going through thinking the thought of like, oh, okay, so did you not cheat on me for the last decade because you didn't have the opportunity to with someone that you deemed like maybe better
ding,
than
ding,
me
ding.
Or whatever the fuck the case may be? Like, that kind of betrayal is so mind fucking that I could
almost kind
so
of feel
angry.
Bad for, I don't really, but like I almost kind of feel bad for him.
No.
I don't actually, but like, put yourself in SpongeBob's position.
Yes, he like couldn't pass up the opportunity. And no,
but truly, like, if you were in this situation where you never had anyone like Ariana Grande ever even like look at you, and then it was just like in your lap, like, oh my God.
I know what you mean, but fuck him.
I don't think it's okay yeah, at screw all. Him. I hope that doesn't get misconstrued, but you know, like, fuck.
No, you're trying to walk in his big black boots. Yeah,
like,
boots.
Enough SpongeBob references. It shows that he's an asshole that he couldn't, like, fight that urge and be like, no, I'm married to my high school sweetheart who I love and yeah. have a child. But, like, I don't think most women probably could have approached him and been like, hey, want to leave your wife? And he would have said yes. But Ariana Grande did it, and he said yes.
Also, okay, have you guys read these new articles come out where it seems like Lily J and Ethan Slater are both kind of whispering to the press?
I've seen a lot of quotes. I know she is. Her.
I didn't know that yeah. he was.
Yeah, so there was an article that came out I just read. I think it was, like, last night. It was either on TMZ or Page Six, or, you know, maybe both, because they kind of...
Just the most reputable ones, yeah.
Yeah, the best, right? But they were basically talking about, allegedly, how, you know, Lily J is making comments, but they're saying, like, well, Ethan desperately wants to co-parent with Lily, and she just isn't having it. It's like, bitch, if you left me abruptly out of nowhere, like, it is fair for me to be unclear on whether I want you 10 feet near
also,
our child.
Also, would they like, have even really discussed that yet? Hasn't it been, like, 2 weeks?
Oh, you discussed that. Immediately.
Are they even speaking though?
Well, you have to. There's no just being like, well, I don't want to talk. Like, you have a kid. There's like, you have to, unless there's abuse involved. Cause like, if she literally like cut him off and was like literally not speaking, not answering then calls, not anything, penalized. Like he could literally call the police. Yeah. Like he could be like, where the fuck is my kid? I don't even know where my kid is. It's hard because I totally understand where she's coming from because I would be furious. Like I would be absolutely fuming.
But you don't want to take your
But at the same time, away. if there was not abuse involved, you gotta separate him from what he did because he's still that kid's father. As shitty as he is.
Jesse, you are so much better than me, girl.
No, because I know, like, my kids, like, for instance, if my husband did this, they would absolutely suffer. Like, if I told them, I mean, their kid is a year old. I don't think they know they're here on this earth yet. But, like, you know, when they do start knowing and recognizing everything, like, they suffer when they're not allowed to be with both parents, especially when they're allowed, like, when they're used to that. So that's why I say that. But, like, unless there was abuse involved, I think that that's wrong. And I understand why he's upset about that. I don't think it's right.
Well, and it makes me even think like Kim Kardashian, doesn't have the best attributes of all people always at all times, I would say. But I did respect how she like with the Kanye situation with when he was like going in his anti-Semitic rants and stuff that she was doing, at least allegedly what she has claimed, is that she was doing as much as she could to keep her kids away from that. And she never was negatively speaking about him. She's like, no, I have to like in the car. They're like, we want to listen to daddy's music. She has to like turn on his music and be happy about it, even though he's literally like on fucking Tucker Carlson saying God knows what. So I agree with that, that it's like, if he's not doing anything, like if he didn't abuse the kids, like there's no reason that he should be like revoked fatherhood. He should be revoked marriage and any respect from her, I think.
However, he has some fucking audacity, allegedly, commenting on this publicly. Cause it's like, sir,
oh yeah,
you could not like this, but how about you just sit down for this one and just
take the heat? Take the heat for what you did. You don't get to talk. Like, if you are on his big prize. Say?
Well, like, if sources or like things are coming out where he's being
allegedly,
like, yeah, it's him. It's like, who else is that going to be? Like, they're
no, but
aunts?
What was it about that she was? It was about co-parenting?
Yeah, so basically they're saying that, like, from these alleged sources, they're saying that Ethan's, like, desperate and wants to, like, keep up with her daily to talk to the child. And it's like, well, it's almost as though if Lily doesn't respond, they're like, oh, wow, she's being uncooperative. She doesn't want to let Ethan see the child. And like, bro, if I'm Lily and Ethan's calling, I'd be like, bitch, I don't want to talk to you, and the baby can't talk. So why are you calling my phone? Like, because that's why I said, Jesse, you're a lot better than me.
But the baby really can't talk. It's true. It's like, I guess you could look at it.
I know. But like, that does make it much more complicated. But that's why I was saying, I wonder what the situation is. Because, like, for example, I know, like, Ariana is based in LA, but she's in New York filming. Where is the wife and kid based?
I think they're in London filming. I could be wrong.
Oh, they're in London.
I believe.
Oh,
so.
Actually, you're right. So even more so, like they're probably not in London. So it's not like he's seeing the baby right now anyway.
I don't know why, but them being so far away, like it makes it worse for some reason. Like it just really does. It plays into the
whole idea of like what we're saying with like restaurants, summer camp, theater stuff.
Yeah.
Like they're in this bubble and you are trusting them to go off and like do their job far away and be like bringing home the money for their family and following their dreams. And then you find out that they're fucking Ariana Grande. No, thank you.
It's so sad too, because when you're in that situation, like I know his thought process for sure. I could just jump in his head and realize it. But it's like everybody has thoughts in a long-term relationship. Like if you see someone attractive, you're gonna think they're attractive. You're not like blind. I hate when people are like, I don't know what's, I don't see it. Like, no, you understand. But the grass is always greener mentality is always gonna fucking get you. Like when you just allow that little bit to be like, oh, you know what? That actually might be it. Your life is fucking over, my dude. Because everybody, I stand by this. Every human being on this earth is painfully annoying in some way, has their fucking downsides. I wouldn't want to live with 99.999% of people. What do you think Ariana Grande is going to give to you that the person who has stuck by your side for 10 years hasn't already given to you?
I mean, also she could be, and this is just, you know, Bo's conspiracy land. She could just be love bombing him right now.
For
somebody like him, it feels so good. And also, look, I'm gonna say this right now, like love bombing, that's toxic, but it's like, what am I, I'm not gonna let you love me right now. Like I'm so susceptible to that kind of shit. Okay.
And when it's fucking Ariana Grande, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, it could have been anyone and he probably could have been like, you know, I'm married. It's Ariana Grande love bombing you and just like throwing, like, I don't know if this is the case, but if she's throwing herself at him, it's not justified. It's not okay. But I understand, I guess, like, it makes sense. Well, and also, which one of you, I think, Bose, I feel like you told me that none of her relationships last longer than 2 years.
No, they don't. And that's what I say about, she goes in and like, I bet you Ariana doesn't even think that she's love bombing. She's just falling heavily into the love because love feels good and it's exciting, but it's not real love. It's her idealized version of love. There's a lot of people that, you know, maybe they didn't see a great picture of love when they were growing up, and they have this idealized version that comes from TV and movies. And so rather than creating a secure attachment in a relationship, they create a fantasy attachment. And the fantasy cannot last. The fantasy eventually comes undone. And it comes undone whenever she stops trying, whenever she stops love bombing, whenever she stops idealizing the person that she's after, sees them as flawless, perfect, wonderful, they can do no wrong. And then she feels like she can love them fully. But then you kind of realize he's just a sponge. I'm sorry, but like literally, like people, particularly women, but this can happen to men too. We love to idealize partners because it takes out some of the responsibility in the relationship. And then when we stop putting in that effort, we start to realize like their flaws and we're like, wait a minute, what is this? And I think that's what happens to Ariana a lot.
And then when you think about the fact that like how everyone immediately sees this pairing and they're like, wait, what? Like, this doesn't make any sense. That probably could be more reassurance for her because she's like, no, this is new. This is like nothing I've been a part of before. This is real.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people kind of did that to her with Pete Davidson too, even though there's many people who find Pete Davidson extremely attractive.
I was going to say,
except there's a lot of people who don't.
The start of a lot of people that Kim Kardashian.
I would let Pete Davidson ruin my life. I just need to know what's in the fucking sauce. I need to know what's in the sauce. I just need to know.
I've heard alleged what's in the sauce. I think Kim talked about it on her show a little bit. I don't know, but I heard something. Like, I just feel like that 2 year, like the first 2 years of relationship almost like fly by. Like, it's this new thing. You're still getting to know someone. And then it's really just this like lull of familiarity with someone, which is not a bad thing. I really love that part of my partnership. Like, I love that I'm so comfortable and like familiar with this person. Makes me feel like really safe in life. But like, some people find that really boring. They're like, well, what the fuck? Like, we're just gonna do the same thing every day. Like, me and my husband love watching the same shows and doing the same things and liking doing the like our little routine. Like, that's how we like to live our life. But some people can't live like that. And I feel like Ariana, maybe it's her personality, maybe it's her lifestyle that don't like.
I was gonna say, I mean, when you think about Ariana Grande's lifestyle, like, she doesn't live a normal life. So her day-to-day changes so much that even this, it's like once Wicked's over, I mean, like there's a break right now because of the strike, but like it comes back. Just say that they are really in love right now and they continue this and it goes through the end of the show. And then she goes on, I don't know if she does she do tours? Has she done one since? Yeah. Mm. Manchester?
I think she did since Manchester.
I think she might have.
She did like some fundraisers for Manchester. I know that.
Oh, like, right. But like, right, I think she'll have to get back to her music. And unless she books another musical, which like she could, but probably not, because that's, I don't think her main career goal. And it just seems like, then what? He's not going to just give up all of his dreams and just follow you around. I mean, maybe he will. But like, I don't know. It just seems like there's no foresight going on.
Yeah, it's, what is she looking for? I don't think she even knows. I think she's just chasing excitement. She might be a person that, like, there's a lot of people that grew up in really rough homes or having rough lifestyles, and they get on this pattern of highs, lows, highs, lows, highs, lows, and your body can literally get addicted to that cortisol. Like, it's true. You constantly put yourself in situations of high, low, high, low, high, low. And I think that's why we keep seeing those dips where Ariana leaves the relationship, because it's just what her brain and body kind of like seeks. But it's kind of like what Jesse was saying about that stability. If you're a person that was born into high, low, high, low, you have to work on having consistent energy and like having stability. Like, Jesse, how long have you been married, or how long have you been
6 years.
Person? Do you find that maybe like every year, every 2 years, you actually uncover this deeper level of like safety and familiarity with your partner that almost renews it in a little way?
Oh, for sure.
Well, and even with Jesse's, it's crazy. Like, because yours was very whirlwind romance.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
They met and it was just like suddenly, because she was like about to move to Miami the day before.
You know, in the beginning of my relationship, it was very, I was pregnant, I think within 2 months, married within 6 months. And I didn't really know my husband for a few years. Like, I had my son before I even really knew who he was. But that being said, like, there's been so many moments of like conscious effort to learn this person, to continue this love, to understand what we both want and need in life and how we want to grow together. Like, that took a lot of time and effort.
That you didn't have a moment of like boredom or like one moment of hesitation and then go, oh, never mind, I have to find something else to like then match what you had in the beginning.
Well, especially anytime that I had that perceived boredom, or if I had those like human thoughts, because it's not like you're like a guilty person if you've had thoughts.
No.
What if I would have ended up with this person, or what if I chose this, or what if this would happen? Like,
no,
you're a human
legitimate
being,
thoughts
you have thoughts
anyone would have.
But that being said, it's like, never did I ever take any of that, and especially the boredom thing, because I think that's where a lot of people get tripped up and like fall face first into like another option. Like, it was always just like, I need to find my partner again. We need to figure out how to navigate this. And it always turned into something way more like substantial, and it was way more meaningful than it ever was before that moment. But you have to do it constantly. Like, it's like this constant choosing, which like you would think Ethan and his wife had done up to that point if they've been together 10 years.
And you know what? Honestly, Jesse, that might be part of the reason why Ariana was attracted to him, because he made it through 10 years in a relationship, which is something that she had never done before. Dude, also, like, I'm gonna cry while you're talking about that, because I just love love so much.
I do too.
It's so cute.
Well, it ends up giving you such, I mean, from an onlooker perspective. It makes it so much more worth it and so much stronger when you do overcome those like momentary lulls, because you are choosing to be with that person and you're not just getting caught up in the feelings that you felt in the beginning and then moving on.
Well, and all I know is that like I look back, or like I'll look at my life right now and I'm like, holy fuck, like hell yeah, like we're doing it. Like, I just like really appreciate the fact that we've both made a conscious effort to make it to this point. And it's fucking awesome. Like, if you can do it and there's no abuse or like horrible relationship like dynamic or anything, like, I'm not saying like push through like a horrible fucking situation, but like if it's all right and you guys like had that love initially and that spark, because that spark, you don't have a spark up your ass every day like wanting to like go and make out with your partner and a fucking, I don't know, you know, like you don't have that all the time.
Yeah.
So
it's sweet, because I think so many people, we were talking about like the whole grass is always greener. But it's like, maybe the grass is greener on your own side if you just stuck it out and saw what it could become, rather than just like discounting
everyone
it the second
is
heart.
Annoying. Everyone's gross. Everyone takes diarrheas. Like, you have to like understand all of these things. It's like, there's not a fucking person on earth that is not going to be a little bit of this or that or the other. It's just going to be a little bit different per person. So choose the person that chooses you and that loves you through shit, and that you guys can fucking vibe together through life. Because otherwise, the next person, you're going to love them and it's going to be amazing, and you're going to be like, have this crazy spark. And then in 2 months, you're going to be like, oh my God, this is really gross about them, or they're really annoying when they do XYZ.
And then you probably end up missing the boring boring things that you didn't like about the other person.
It's not boring. It's reliable. And that is valuable in life.
Yeah.
Like, literally, yes, you're going to miss knowing that you have that woman that you were with for 10 years, that you knew everything about her. You knew exactly what to expect on a hard day when you don't want to pretend to be something, which he absolutely has to do in front of Ariana, allegedly. But, like, you have to, like, keep up and have your game. And, like, you have to be on for someone. Like, you don't have to do that with your person. Like, you don't have to play those stupid fucking games. And that's valuable.
I think it takes a strong level of maturity to stick through the boring times and find ways to reconnect with your partner and find ways to make it exciting again. And like I said, there's those new layers of love that get introduced that a lot of people, they never even had before. Like, bro, honestly, big fucking red flag to me when people start dating within the first year and they're like, my partner feels like home to me. Like, for some people, that's true. But a lot of times when we run into people that feel familiar, they can be good familiar or they can be bad familiar. They can be almost remind you of like a narcissistic ex from your past. And for some reason that still feels like home to you, but you don't realize that it's the bad familiar, right? For someone to really feel like home to you, it takes time and effort for you to feel safe with them at all times. And like, I don't know if people always feel safe during the whirlwind period, you know? Like, and obviously there's some exceptions to that. Like, some people start off whirlwind and then they're 10 or 15 years into it. Like, yes,
and that's,
go you.
Jesse's a good example. But then when you look at someone like Ariana Grande, which, I mean, we are obviously dissecting her relationships a lot without knowing anyone that's been in them. But if she's never been in a relationship past 2 years, and that is when she switches and then jumps into something that isn't like a casual, fun little thing. It's like always jumping into something that seems very serious right off the bat.
But always with men who were in serious things before.
That
like
part
she finds
is
that
crazy.
Like possibility very attractive, yeah. But then she tries to execute it herself and it just doesn't quite work out. My thing is always, and I've had this conversation with my husband, I am flat out, I'm like, listen, cool. If you meet like a cashier in Publix that you just cannot resist for the life of you and you just have to have sex with her, do me a favor and leave me. Like, the fact that he didn't just fucking leave her. How could you not leave her? Just tell her, like, even if it's the day before, like Pete Davidson, do it. Like, you're an asshole and you're fucking horrible. We're probably still not going to like you very much. But at least you would have had some semblance of, like, I don't know, morality, ethics. Like, leave your wife.
It's interesting that you guys said that it was cast members, like, saw they were, like, PDA on set and stuff.
They said,
like,
they didn't try to hide it, that they were super messy.
That's so crazy to me. Like, it just really makes me wonder how much of it was, once again, most conspiracy land, that is, like, Ariana, who needs that validation, being like, how much are you willing to sacrifice for me? And have you guys noticed how every single Ariana relationship in the press, it comes off as the one? Dalton Gomez, it was the one. Pete Davidson,
they're never
casual
relationships that she starts up right after. It's like very serious, head over heels, I'm going to marry this man. Matching tattoos. She has matching tattoos with Pete Davidson and Dalton.
I don't know. I mean, I would say let's see how this turns out. I feel like I know how it's going to turn out.
No, but actually I'm curious. Like, do you think it'll last like through the end of Wicked?
I would say yes, of course, because they're still in that environment. But do I actually believe that their relationship, whatever you want to call this, has enough substance to it at the moment to withstand all of this like backlash that's happening right now? I don't know. Because
see,
this is like a lot.
That's actually why I'm not as, I'm like curious if it would have been her pushing him to go like public. I mean, I guess, I don't know if either of them were pushing to go public, but that like to leave his wife over it.
That I can
as
see.
A validation
the public,
thing,
I don't see.
Just because it is not good for her at all.
No. I don't even know how she's gonna recover from this.
I told y'all, I keep trying to give you, it's in my opinion, because I know I'm going pretty hard with it. I believe Ariana's a pick me girl. And I think that a lot of this is a demonstration of I've won. Like, I need to win over certain people, like push you to the divorce, I've won. Make you hold hands with me on public when you know
you should.
Do you
think she would
do
that though?
I've won.
Like, even if it makes her look bad publicly?
It's very trauma-based. It's very, very trauma-based, and it just feels good, and she's gotta have it. When you're acting on like a trauma pattern, you are not thinking rationally.
So she's not like prioritizing them. She's just like doing them both at the same time, and it just happens to.
Yeah.
Is it a lot of like a lack of impulse control? Like, it's just like she feels that impulse to do this, this, and that, and then she doesn't even think of the repercussion?
Personally, what I think it is that there's so much flooding of cortisol. It feels good. It feels so exciting. The person genuinely believes this must be right. They really genuinely fully believe it. They don't see any of their actions as homewrecking, manipulative, bad. They think like, this is real, this is true, and they just follow it to the ends no matter what.
But in the past, she's always been able to get away with it. Because again, aside from Naya Rivera, I don't think any of the other girls have been like high profile people. Because like, I, for example, had no idea that that was like a common pattern of behavior.
Yeah, it's actually kind of sad that you pointed that out. And I'm just realizing right now, I'm like, damn, like, I think most people probably wrote it off like when those women did come out and even like mildly talk about how it was really devastating to them that their partner left them for Ariana Grande. Like, I'm sure they were like attacked, probably like written off as jealous of Ariana. Like, her fans probably got on their ass. Like, I could totally see that. And it took a woman's life who's like, it's like objectively wrong because she's been with him for a decade and has their child. And like, Ariana was liking those pictures. It took something as big as that for people to be like, oh, maybe don't. Like, that's weird because like, she has been doing this for so long.
Dude, you know, I have a question. If you guys were Lily J in this situation, would you be going to the press or would you be pretty quiet?
Oh, I'd be mortified.
This?
I'd be not because of anything I did, but I just would absolutely not want to bring more attention to it. God, no.
The rage that you feel with that level of betrayal is kind of unpredictable for me. Like, it could go either way. I could just like go hide in a dungeon and just like hate you for the rest of my life. Or I could let the rage guide me to page six and tell people that you're an asshole. And that I'm blindsided, because I could see her seeing like headlines and stuff, getting it wrong or like not understanding timelines, and that pissing her off so bad that she's like, no, fuck that, that's not how that happened, and like, I deserve to say it, like, I'm the one who got hurt, you know. So I don't fault her. Him commenting about it allegedly is wild to me. That I don't understand at all.
Oh, and I don't fault her for saying anything, for sure. I just more just personally, I wouldn't want to say anything.
I get it's that. Just different for everyone. If I were her, I would be dragging Ariana and Ethan through the press, hands and fucking knees. I absolutely would. No mercy for the wicked. Okay.
Like, I think also I probably would react differently if they were like going out right now and had like PDA, if they were like out holding hands in London and like going out to dinners, it wouldn't make any of it any different because I'm sure they're probably doing that already. But if it was like, wow, they're rubbing it in my fucking face, like, mm-hmm. then I would probably lose my shit.
Lily, I think that's the next step. I think that's the next step from her
PR
team.
Well, that's what I'm curious.
In like 2 to 6 months, you know, it's like they've got to sit down and be with Ariana. Like, do you really want to fucking do this? Okay, let's spin up a story. They have to minimize it for a while everything's hot, and then they have to make it seem real. You know, get the paparazzi photos, you know, them holding hand in hand, them looking happy and being like, well, you know, it was meant to be. And then in a year or two, it's, well, they've separated due to differences, you know, blah blah blah, he's a good dad, he's still taking care of his son, Ariana, oh, she's gonna go do this now, new album
their
coming.
Lifestyles didn't match up.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, no, I think they'll, because like you said, it's the only way she'll get out of this in like kind of a positive light is if they do kind of like stick to the plan and like, okay, we're together now. So now it's going to be her PR team's responsibility to legitimize this relationship, which is already like, what is this? And then that's going to piss everyone off more, probably, honestly.
2 days later.
Look, guys, this is my most toxic thing ever, okay? I really wish that I could be a fly on the wall the moment that Ariana gets her first ick.
There's no way that has not happened already. Those SpongeBob clips circulating?
But I don't know. That's why I brought it up. I was like, but she's a theater nerd, and I think he's a theater nerd. Maybe she hasn't gotten the ick yet. I don't know. I have. And I don't know him.
I don't know how she's going to get out of this one. And I feel like if it wasn't such a chronic problem, we wouldn't be talking about it in the fashion that we're talking about it. I want to make that note, like, for anybody that doesn't, I mean, we've said, you know, throughout this, like, her pattern or whatever, but like, some people from the surface might look at it and be like, yo, what the fuck, why do people care? Maybe she found the love of her life. You just see that all the time. Like, maybe people married someone and that's not the person they're supposed to be with, whatever people rationalize this with.
Honestly, that was kind of me last episode, right? Where I was like, do we really care? Like, why are we talking about this? Yes. Why is that big of a deal? But I didn't know some of the more minute aspects of it.
But yeah, well, let's see where she goes with oh my god, I need to stop with the SpongeBob like references in my head. Ethan Slater, that's his name. We have to cut out. We've literally been referencing SpongeBob every sentence. But Anyway, I think that's it, right? Is that where we're at today, present day?
Yeah, I was like, well, I think we've been talking for almost an hour and a half about
per usual.
Two people's relationship that we don't really
know them?
About. So, you know, no, we don't. I'm dying that this is why you have come on the show. Do you want to make a comment about Zav Girl while you're here?
No, what the fuck?
No, but because P.S., we got a lot of comments when we covered her, and it was like, I like watching Bose. And I was like, oh. I know her. They're going to be quite surprised to see you talking about this.
It was mind-blowing. Also, if I can just like tag onto that really quick, I have a lot of thoughts lately about the content farms that are going on with true crime on YouTube in general. I have met people recently that have meme accounts on Instagram that are randomly starting true crime channels because they think that it makes money. You know, if anyone's a big true crime person, I have been passionately like looking at cases since I was like, I don't know, 12 years old or something. And I pick stuff that I'm passionate about. And on top of that, I've like spoken to victims' families. I've spoken to killers before. I've done interviews with people. Like, I have so many perspectives.
You've also worked in like criminology and stuff too, haven't you? Haven't you gotten like random side jobs to just like learn more?
Oh, yeah. Like, I've done like a lot of TV stuff. I was a local crime reporter for Citizen, like in Los Angeles for a long time. Like, yeah, I've been pretty boots on the ground with stuff, and it definitely upsets me just the way some of it's handled. And I mean, like, don't get me wrong, like, I haven't been perfect over, you know, time too, but I think it's really important to assess what you're doing with sensitive topics without like, you know, feedback from the audience. Like, you should be able to look at your own footprint and say like, huh, do I want to do this again? Okay, no, I'm gonna pivot over here, without people screaming at you like, how dare you sell autopsy photos of a child.
You know, she didn't sell them. She put them on her Patreon.
I'm like, that's the same fucking thing. Dude, yeah. Wait, does this mean I get to plug myself, Lily?
Yes. Plug yourself. Plug away.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, look, hey, I just want to let you guys know ahead of time, I say it all. I just kind of blurt a lot of things out. But if you like that kind of stuff, you can watch me on my channel. I haven't posted on my channel for a few weeks, but Lily is my friend, and it's been awesome talking to Jesse, so I've popped in here. But on my channel, I'm launching some new shows, primarily around female killers, because we all know the men killers, they're just violent and dumb, and it's always for the craziest shit. But like, women usually have like longer motives. They
weird,
can be very like
seated issues that have
really interesting. So I'm launching a big series where it really focuses on that, and if you're interested, you can come hang out at Bose versus the World on YouTube.
Honestly, I have to say, you guys, I like Bose. I don't even, I was trying to tell even Jesse, it was like, so Bose and I first met back when we worked at like Defy. Do we say it? Defy. The company that owned Clever, and because were you with Smosh in general or just Smosh Games?
Just in Smosh.
Not just Smosh Games. She was part of Smosh, and so we would like pass each other in the hallway, and we were like friendly, but we weren't really friends, I feel like, in the office. And no. Then you left, and then I don't even remember what provoked it again, but we would like start tweeting. Then she deleted her Twitter. Then our relatable tweet conversations turned to like late night texts to me being like, Lily, did you hear about this?
I don't even know when we got each other's numbers.
I don't either. But it's hilarious because I feel like our friendship has just like over the last like year or two has evolved from being like, hi, nice to see you, to being like, Lily, I can't believe you don't know what's going on with Ethan Slater. And I'm like,
it's been authentic, and I enjoy that very
much. Well, and I was going to say, on top of that, not to diss any of my other friend content creators, but, like, I don't usually watch a lot. Like, it always feels kind of awkward sometimes to watch your friends' content. Would you agree?
Get that. Yeah,
sometimes?
No, I get that.
And I feel like I started getting recommended Bose's content one day, and I remember texting her being like, wait, so I just watched a few of your videos, and they're, like, really good. Like, I really like them a lot. So I could not highly recommend them more. I think you cover everything from, like, just a very, like you said, a very self-aware, like, you're not just, like, saying things. Like, there's a lot
I'm obsessed with what I do.
Education, research, and self-awareness behind them, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Everyone watching is like, yeah, we know.
Yeah,
is.
I know. They're like, we didn't know who you were, bitch.
That was so fun. She should come on.
That was fun. It really felt like we were just FaceTiming with a friend. And
I knew
she knew some things I didn't know too, which was helpful. And I just felt like I was talking to a friend who knew a lot about the Ariana Grande situation.
And she's so smart.
She is. Well, see, that's my vibe. Like, it's like, yeah, let's fucking talk shit. And then let's like get really deep into it of what the fuck is actually happening here and how a human being gets to this place. Like, I really enjoy that because it doesn't feel like so icky. You know how like sometimes like people will talk shit to you and you're like, ugh, this feels like really malicious and gross, and it feels icky, I don't like it. Like, this makes it feel better.
It comes from more of a place of like wanting to understand rather than just trying to gossip to gossip.
That's what we usually do on this channel. And she fit right in here like a glove. She just,
I knew she would. I'm so glad. That was, again, a kind of a random thing for her to come in on, but I'm thrilled that it happened. And I feel like now she'll just be our Ariana Grande correspondent. And then maybe we can have her on for true crime stuff too. And then otherwise, in terms of topics, that's pretty much it. There was one that we were going to go into, but now we kind of just went too long on the Ariana thing. But I think we can skirt around this, like, this isn't a video on Colleen.
Damn it!
The toxic gossip train has come back into the station.
All aboard!
It's so funny because, like, our last video was a series of unfortunate events. We will not get into it because people just, it's really...
I'm not even going to acknowledge it. It wasn't late. What are you talking about?
It was so bad. Like, technically, so many nightmares.
And we missed an episode. But, you know, we're not going to acknowledge that either.
Oh, that's right. We didn't. You know, well, life. But in the midst of our, like, just suffering through that unfortunate editing of that video, Lily was like, she just texted me. She's like, I put a train whistle over where we're saying all aboard. I'm like, girl, I'm literally about to jump off a cliff. But you know what? Period. It was funny.
Shut the fuck up. Did you watch it? And you knew
that. It was good. I liked it.
It was like, I could not. And then I just like, anytime that you'll quote it or something, I'm like, I literally can't help myself. I'm like, well, now I have to put in a line from it. Because the whole, like anytime I hear it, it's just immediately back in my head.
No, but this isn't that. We're not talking about Colleen. We're not even going to get into it. We're just going to do a very brief update because holy fuck.
I would even argue this isn't part of the toxic gossip train at all, because this is confirmation that Trisha has now put out publicly that, you guys, if you forgot somehow, Colleen got caught basically by Adam McIntyre and Johnny, who we interviewed on our show a few weeks ago. She got exposed for, I would say back in the day, but it wasn't even that long ago, but over the course of a few years, sending Trisha Paytas's nudes to Adam and Johnny. Johnny was not a minor at the time, but he was still like 20. Adam was 15, 16, I believe, when this started. And it became like an inside joke that he would just get screenshots of Trisha's porn that she had either like, it was before her OnlyFans even. So it was like from her Patreon or from her like Trishyland website. And then it got so far as even to be like, there are videos to prove that Colleen had these watch parties with her friends where they would watch. This was, I think, when she got the OnlyFans. And she would be like, I subscribed, and then send them videos of her and her friends watching Trisha's porn and like laughing about it. Like they're literally having watch parties to make fun of her. Then we found out in Trisha's video that she had asked Colleen, like point blank, did you do this? And Colleen denied it and said, no, I never did that. Adam, the underage fan, I don't know if she said by name, but she's like, no, this fan, he used to send it to me. I never sent anything to him, blah, blah. Well, apparently after that video came out, we now have word that Trisha got a text from Colleen where Colleen not only admitted to it happening, but then full on said, like she admitted it. And then she said, I'm a coward for not telling you.
She sent them. She sent me an apology on that Saturday after I made the video. I made the video July 3rd, and then she sent me an apology on like Saturday, July like 8th or 9th. And she's like, yeah, I was a coward. I lied to you. Like I should have just told you the truth when you asked me about the photos. Like I was a coward and that was it. So she like apologized for it. So she definitely sent them to that guy.
And this was after Trisha's video came out.
Yes.
Which is insane to me. I'm like, after your ukulele video, after Trisha's video, you, like, why are you texting Trisha?
Kind of 11th hour.
But you have to understand, like, so she had, this is all alleged. We haven't seen the text messages, we have to say. Before this, like, we did have proof and confirmation from Johnny. He was an adult at the time that she was sending those pictures to him. But Adam was the quote-unquote alleged one because he doesn't have like, or he hasn't put out those screenshots of text messages from Colleen. However, this is alleged confirmation from Trisha Paytas saying Colleen admitted on text to a literal, this is a crime. She could serve jail time.
It's crazy to me that she would apologize to Trisha over it and like say, I was a coward. I can't, like, I'm sorry I didn't tell you. When it's literally an illegal act that you're admitting to someone that has just said publicly, like in a video that millions of people have seen now, denounced you and said she wants nothing to do with you. And you've been exposed for like shit talking her for years. Why in the hell. Like, and I'm glad she did, but like, why would she admit to something that is, it's straight up illegal? What does she think? She's gonna like revive this friendship with Trisha? Because call me crazy, don't think that's gonna happen. Why would you do that?
I think the legality of it is a whole different story. I don't even think she thinks that she can go to jail for any of this.
I don't think she does either. That's the crazy part. I'm like, do you not realize how damning that is?
Yeah, but also on a completely other different level, it's like, how does it take so much shit for you to actually come out and say the truth? Like, I know the truth is horrid and embarrassing and completely like horrifying to admit to in her case. Like, admitting that you did something like that to someone is actually horrifying. But why does it take so much for you to get to that point? Like, literally her whole career had to crumble for her to be like, okay, I'm a coward. I'm sorry. I didn't. Like,
even more than that, like, I just don't get the point. Like, again, like, it's not like Trisha's gonna be like, oh my God, you're forgiven.
Honestly, I would like to think that this is sending her into some serious soul searching, like losing everything.
I fucking hope
so. Yeah, same. But like, I think that may be, because yeah, you're right. Trisha's not going to be like, oh, well, okay, great, period.
It's, like, I'm curious what led her to that decision of like, you're going to try and repair things with Trisha? That's your goal here right now? That's where you're at?
Well, you know what? Also, I don't know, because there is a lot of history of her allegedly telling people basically that she thinks Trisha's so dumb and like stupid and annoying. That's like the kind of character that she would create.
You're never going to get back in her good graces. Why would she do this?
Well, maybe she thinks like Trisha's dumb enough to like get back on her side and like help her out with her image.
Oh, God.
That's what I'm saying. Like, getting at. I don't know that, but she always painted Trisha out to be that kind of person. Adam had made comments about how she would always talk about how she needed Trisha on her good side, because if not, it was bad. And maybe that's just her trying to get Trisha back on her good side. Just, I don't know how she thought it would work, but maybe it's like a last ditch effort.
Well, and we aren't even gonna go super into detail on this because I haven't had a chance to finish watching Trisha's video. But I know that Adam said that him and Trisha had like an offline conversation and that's where he found out this information. But Trisha has a whole video up now where it's like, I kind of thought that her video on it before was the last she was really gonna speak about it. And she has made some like kind of more lighthearted jabs here and there, just in passing. But she has a whole video now where she's reacting to the article. Because
her podcast.
Yeah. Oh, because she just started a new podcast, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically her going through the whole article, which, I mean, it does make sense. When I brought up, I thought that was the most egregious part of what was wrong with the article, is that they didn't name her and they called her just a sex worker. This entire situation got so much crazier than I ever thought that it could.
I know, it feels like a fever dream. But yeah, that was the quick little update that basically Trisha said that it was confirmed that she used to send nudes to minors of Trisha.
I'm so confused at like what state of mind Colleen is in, that on her list of priorities it was like, apologize to Trisha Paytas for not everything she did, but just to admit that, like, I don't know.
I honestly think she's in fight or flight. And she's fighting for her life right now. Like, I just think she's going through it. And arguably, as she should. So, I don't know. But anyway, that is, that's it. That's all we've got for you today. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Something fun, a little different, a little spicy. Trying to, you know, spice it up like a long-term relationship. We're at our one-year mark, okay? We have to just really, really keep up before you guys leave us for Ariana Grande.
We can't get comfortable in the lulls.
No, we can't. Anyway, guys, if you made it to the end, thank you so much. We appreciate you. And that's it. We'll see you on Friday.
Bye.